We're just starting the run into winter, but in the middle of winter, fishermen everywhere will be in basements, tying flies, getting ready for spring breakup, ready for that the freshet, and ready for the first signs of trout and the first opportunity to put on a belly boat and go floating down a stream as they cast their line upon the water. How'd I do, guys?
We're pretty good.
How did I do?
All
eh?
Except for the belly boat part of it, and the fact that
guys like
Travis Lowe here, his waders are wet all year long.
I don't like to sit in the basement.
There's no sitting around here. That's the beauty of living here, Travis. You can fish all year round.
I am in the presence of greatness. You know what? The two of you are in studio. I've so been looking forward to this conversation because I've been very aware for some time that the movie Finding Fontanelles is in final cuts and you're working like a feverish madman to condense it down and put together
it's done.
The movie.
No, but in the past,
I'm talking in the past context.
Right on.
And I'm very aware that Gord Vizzuti's been a co-writer of the script. So on the 5th of November, I get to see it.
My involvement alone was the better part of a year.
Yeah.
Just my involvement. Yeah. Travis has
it
been on
like
this.
It felt like three, but it was really only one. You know how that is, Phil.
Oh, he knows
so
that every day.
Travis Lowe, by day, is a shooter at a local television channel.
An unnamed global TV.
See.
Yeah.
Yes.
Given our parental connection.
Don't
here, we need
say
to...
he works for global.
No. But we welcome him to the studio anyway.
Thank you for having me. You guys are always in support of everything I do. Thank
Fontanelles.
You.
Who's he?
Fontanelles.
Inca god or something? God of fish? Or...
No. Fontanelles is the Latin name for the brook trout, which is Salvelinus fontanelles, and it comes from the Latin word from the springs. And okay. So the film is about finding a world record brook trout and the journey that one man goes on that becomes more of a conservation journey and a self-redemption journey than actually trying to find one big fish.
Is that one man you?
No, that one man is not me. The one man is a gentleman named Bart Bonim, and he is the director of fish at Patagonia, a company in Ventura.
He's the what?
I know. It's a title everybody would like to have. The director of fish. I'll say that again. The director of fish at Patagonia.
A multi-million dollar organization.
Absolutely. One of the premier companies in the world in terms of being environmentally conscious. And the film actually features another man who started Patagonia that a lot of people might know, and that is Yvon Chouinard.
Patagonia from the get-go was the first company to put environmental stewardship right onto their code of ethics, their masthead, and they said right from the beginning, what's the percentage, Travis?
1%. They started 1% for the planet, so 1% of their gross sales goes to environmentalism, and they're about a $684 million company a year, so they donate 1%.
6 point whatever.
A million a year.
To
environmental causes.
So listen, as always, and Gord, I have to jump in here, and then I invite you to jump in anywhere as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the starting point? Where's the light bulb? When's Travis Lowe sitting with a couple of buddies and having a beer and says, man, I got an idea. I wish I could make a movie about this. How does it all work?
Okay, real quickly. About almost 4 years ago, Bart calls me. He's just returned from a trip to Argentina.
This is the director of fishing at Patagonia.
Right.
He calls you.
He calls me on the phone and he says, hey, I just got back from this place called Las Pampas Lodge. And I had a phenomenal trip and he wanted to tell me all about the trip. And he spent 20 minutes on the phone with me. And then when I got a time to speak, because it was 20 minutes, I'd seen some pictures on the internet, on the line, as they say. The pictures were on a website and they were of this giant brook trout. And it was probably 8 or 9 pounds. You know, and typically a brook trout that we would find in North America is very small, maybe 12 inches.
Yeah.
This was a monster. And I said, well, what's the story with those brook trout, Bart? And he said, oh, there's no story there. And then he went in to proceed to talk my ear off for 30 minutes about this one day they had had in this one special place. And when I got a chance to interrupt at the end of 30 minutes, I said, we need to make a film about that.
And as they say, the rest is history.
For almost 4 years later, we debuted the film in California last Tuesday night to a really, really good reception. And really, but this was a private screening in California. So really, on Saturday night, November 5th, here at the Laurel, this will be the first time the general public gets to see the film.
This is a premiere. This is a big deal.
For all intents and purposes.
Are you guys arriving in limousines?
Listen, I just want to add something to what Travis said to that 30-minute conversation with Bart. This is how most fly fishing films begin, with the idea and the conceptualization of what we now come to call fish porn. It's slow motion shots of big fish rising
to
up
catch the,
to take the fly again and again and again. And that's how this kind of started out. As Travis said, well, we got to go film this big
fish. Steers love to watch somebody drifting through powder.
Right.
Why wouldn't a fisherman?
Until the research begins and Travis discovered that really the brook trout throughout the world is declined in population. We've decimated it. We were once the champion. I'm speaking about Canada. The United States, it's gone. And mm-hmm. It was their premier fish, and it's gone. And this turned into one man's complete turnaround from seeking the big fish
right.
to going, oh, my God, we've got to save what's little that what little is left
so
of
Bart,
this habitat.
Bart Bonim goes from being have a look at my fish and what does it mean about me to I'll never do this again.
He comes to his own personal calling of consciousness in terms of conservation and realizes that it was never really important to catch the big fish. The whole goal when going down there was always to save the place specifically. The idea behind the trip was to try and to see if we could make the world's first national fly fishing park in Argentina. And then when they go down there, they kind of lose sight of that goal to the siren song of catching the big fish. World record brook trout,
right?
And eventually come back to the realization that that was never important. That was never on the agenda. It was only a reason to go down there and save the place.
You know, I and Gord, I'll defer to you here in a moment as well because you co-wrote the script for much of this. But Travis, you start out with a vision and you start to shoot and you shoot and you shoot and you shoot. How many hours of footage did you shoot?
A
thousand hours of footage that's condensed into what, 90 minutes?
70 minutes.
70
so,
minutes.
So, yeah, it's a feature film, my first real feature film. Anything over 45 minutes is considered a feature film. But
right.
Four different trips to Argentina, okay? Chile, California, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Florida, and then, you know, I mean, I spent...
To tell the story.
Oh, yeah, and then almost 2 weeks in Thunder Bay.
Northern Ontario,
called Nipigon. Which is interesting. We sort of hung the story on this idea that the oldest record in terms of fishing belongs to this gentleman named J.W. Cook, who caught a 14.5-pound world record brook trout in Nipigon, Ontario, 100 years ago. And it's
did he? There's a bit
there's some question and mystery surrounding whether or not he was the man who caught the fish. And we go and explore that story as a way to jump off and follow the rest of the story.
So then I need to ask both of you, a fun experience. I mean, people who write books, by the time they get to the end of a book, they say, my God, why did I ever start? The work to bring a book to being is unbelievable. Is a documentary in the same thing? Do you ultimately end up hating this child, this child of your creativity?
Can't stand it. No, you're dead right. At the end, if you think about something that you spent so many years of your life on, you absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
You critique it beyond, you know, every frame I look at and critique it. But
I'll bet you on November the 5th, as the audience stands and applauds and says, bravo, 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 that you'll be saying, I can't wait to start my next one.
No,
well,
that's been decided.
There's a bit of indication of audience uptake already because Travis produced a short version of this for a world fly fishing film tour that was based primarily in American cities, and it played to packed, sold-out houses. And we think it's just a great film.
Gentlemen, listen, Gord, there's one of these days we're always up against the clock. Travis Lowe, honored to have you in the studio this morning.
Phil, you're going to come?
Oh, absolutely. And
fantastic.
I'm excited to see November the 5th at the Laurel Packing House. It will be the first public premiere, Finding Fontanelles, a Travis Lowe film. His first feature film.
Adult beverages and lots of good fly fishing folk and a lot of networking. Tall Tales and a really good band is playing there.
And a really good band is playing. And Bart will be there, the star of the film.
And Bart will be there.
Oh, seriously.
Bart Bonin is coming from California.
The director of fishing, the guy who has the job that everybody would like to have.
Yep. He'll be there.
Travis Lowe, a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Guys, really appreciate it. Cheers.
Gord Vizzuti, likewise.